broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for September the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two. And our goal, steady as a rock, remains the same. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we got a bunch of stuff to cover, man. I'm telling you right now, Lowell will be back in just a second. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. He was with me first hour. We talked about Good Morning Australia, an article talking about how the lockdowns in Australia are out of control. The protests and anger from the people as they riot in the streets, out of control. The mainstream press blocking the truth, making it very hard for folks to get a handle on what's really going on. The vaccines literally created an explosion of coronavirus in Australia. They used to celebrate zero every day with donut days. Now they're basically going, oh no, what's going on here? They're catching on to the fraud. Why on earth is remdesivir? Why is that the only treatment in America literally allowed? Why is the FDA issuing an emergency use authorization? Emergency use authorization. Why? Why is Fauci declaring this is the only treatment in America? Why the only protocol? Right? It's serious, folks. You need to be aware. You need to be aware of remdesivir. Beware of the mRNA vaccinations. And beware of Fauci. Paul Craig Roberts highlights that piece. This is serious, folks. It's just scary to even think about. But a quick pause from the vaccine scare, from the panic-driven forced agenda by dark side of evil governments. Let's take a quick break from that and tell you some good news, right? We are excited to announce two new big events coming up at Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah. They're before the end of the year. Mark your calendars now for October 1st and November 5th. They're both Fridays, October 1st and November 5th. So this Friday will be October 1st. Alex Newman will be speaking about your children and the abuses of government schools, etc. How to protect your children, what the solutions are, what the reality is. Anyway, Alex Newman, a great, great speaker, well-known journalist, dear friend and more. LovingLiberty.net to get your tickets now to see Alex Newman this Friday, Liberty Hall, Far West. The second event you need to know about, put it on your calendar ASAP, November the 5th, a Friday as well. They're going to have an incredible Loving Liberty Ladies Night. Going to be awesome with dinner and a whole lot more. A special Thanksgiving kind of a dinner. They're going to be covering so many things that'll just knock your socks off. Loving the truth is the general theme of the event. It's just going to be incredible. All right. Friday, November 5th at 6 p.m. A special dinner event by Loving Liberty Ladies. It's going to feature author Pam Openshaw, singer Karen Lynn Grant, and artist Kendra Burton. It's an evening you won't want to miss, ladies and gentlemen. The tales are coming soon about the November event. Just know that you can get tickets, that you want to go for dinner, and you want to enjoy the wonderful festivities that night together with people in person. It's all happening at Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah. People come, believe it or not, not only from Utah, but from states all around, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Nevada. Some even come from Arizona and et cetera. Just tremendous stuff. If you want to learn more and keep an eye on what's going on with the events, lovingliberty.net is where you go, folks. The details are there and the ability to purchase tickets there as well. All right, there's so much to cover, ladies and gentlemen. I want to really talk about this. We're talking about the coronavirus once again. Why are we talking about this just relentlessly? Because, ladies and gentlemen, people are literally dying. People are literally getting super sick. People are struggling from this. It is real. For those of you who tell you it's not real, just ask somebody who's been through it that got really sick, such as myself, and almost died, and you say, it is real. Let's not play games and say that it's not real. However, the real truth and the real problem is not so much the coronavirus. It's the reaction that our governments are having towards the coronavirus. All things that could get you well, they're rejecting. All things that ratchet up death and make you sicker, they're embracing. Yeah, the fact that they're not admitting where the coronavirus came from or how it came to be, very, very concerning. Peter Daszak and Anthony Fauci together, literally working on gain-of-function research to make it viral amongst people. Then it gets released into the population on purpose or by accident, hard to tell. But nevertheless, it was engineered in a lab, gain-of-function research dollars. Testimony, prove it. Testimony by those who were involved, right? And now they've got gain-of-function bioweapons happening. And then they create the vaccine. To me, again, I don't know which gain-of-function weapon's worse. The, quote, disease, intentionally created and released. That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled. Or is it the vaccine, the, quote, supposed antidote? What do they say is the sometimes the cure worse than the disease itself? That's what you got to kind of start to wonder. But this is intentionally released. Every other option that could help people get well, they're not going for. Oxygen is a controlled substance in America. Did you know that, folks? I've told people this, and they're like, what? I didn't know that. Why is oxygen a controlled substance? You could say, well, Sam, it needs to be. There's not enough of it or whatever. What about when people have the coronavirus and they're sick and can't breathe? Why do we need a prescription to buy an oxygen concentrator is the question. Huh? They say oxygen hazards. Is oxygen a drug per the FDA? Yes, the FDA regulates compressed oxygen as a prescription drug. Yeah. Think about that, folks. Why? And if they're going to do emergency, right? If they're going to do emergency on all this stuff, like emergency use authorization for vaccines, emergency use authorization for remdesivir, if all that's emergency use, couldn't you do emergency? We're not going to have a controlled substance for oxygen. Is oxygen a drug per the FDA? Yes. Yes, it is. And you got to ask why. And of all the things that you could do, wouldn't you say, let's emergency authorization, make vaccine available to more people? Couldn't you just call a doctor? The doctor get on the phone and say, yes, I think you got COVID, or upon COVID positive test, you just instantly get oxygen without a prescription? Or can't be there be some way to provide relief and less people just going to the hospital every time they can't breathe? Why all these emergency authorization for hardcore drugs that are proven not safe or effective? Emergency use authorization for vaccines that aren't safe or effective, that are bioweapons against the people. All that's approved, supposedly, but yet oxygen, it's so dangerous, by golly, you can't emergency approve that for people. I mean, people don't even know, is oxygen a drug per the FDA? Answer, yes. How many people even know that? It's bizarre. Yes, the FDA regulates compressed oxygen as a prescription drug. Yeah. And believe it or not, the production processing of it is subject to 21 CFR parts 210 and 211. They say, however, it doesn't even fit in very well. Because of the nature of oxygen, it doesn't even fit in very well for that. See, it's just crazy. But I don't understand. I don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, how they don't emergency authorize making it easier to get oxygen. right? I just don't understand that. There are other solutions that can make a big difference. For example, you can go to these, I don't know what they're called. One of the companies is named Drip. And they're these IV companies that can come to your home or come to your place of business or wherever you are if you're sick, and they can give you an IV. They're nurses. They're certified. What do they call those people that take blood and deal with blood? Anyway, I don't remember the name of them right now. But these people are professionals that are licensed to go ahead and give you IVs and such. And you can get these people to come to your home or whatever and give you large doses of vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc. A lot of times they can do other things to help hydrate you. Lactated ringers is one of the terms that are used. There's a lot of things they can do for you. Those are solutions. How come none of that's being mentioned to people? Why don't we get nurses, rather than having them wear themselves out in the hospitals, to come to people's homes with oxygen, with hydration, with other things that can help people not end up in the hospital in the first place and deal with coronavirus? Why? Because they have an agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Their agenda is to make you sick and die. And then to use the pandemic to literally steal your rights from you in a communist coup. Oh, did I mention the release of this, backed by Fauci and others in your tax dollars, was released by the communist Chinese? Oh, yeah, I forgot that part. Yeah, it is a communist coup. That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled. Quick pause on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I've got a lot of questions about this coronavirus scenario, and so many things to me just don't make sense. Why put on emergency use authorization? Only the vaccine and only remdesivir. Why? When so many other things have so many positive effects, you can get thousands of people that have had ivermectin and doxycycline, or have had monoclonal antibodies, or whatever you call those things, and or a variety of other things, right? Why are none of these other options available? Why, when you can't breathe, you got to go to the hospital? When you're way dehydrated is when you go to the hospital. Those are the two probably biggest reasons people end up in the hospital. But you know what? Oxygen's a drug per the FDA. They regulate compressed oxygen as a prescription drug. They control literally the processing and the production. It's regulated by 21 CFR, parts 210 and 211. Even though oxygen doesn't even fit in very well to the description of that, that's where they've controlled it. Why control oxygen? And especially in an emergency situation when you know so many people need it, why go to the hospital and spend so much money and crowd the hospitals and overwhelm the hospitals only to eventually send people home and give them an oxygen concentrator prescription? Why? Why not let them not go to the hospital in the first place and leave the hospital for those who really need it? Many, if they get hydration and oxygen, could power through. Right? Why not train the public to do things that could help them? Because they don't want to. And this is where I get this evidence, this proof. But the more doctors that speak out for personal reasons, the more we get the evidence and the truth we need as well. Let me give you an example. We talked about this doctor speaking out about the problems with the treatments and the concern about remdesivir. One doctor spoke out the most about this. His name is Dr. Brian Ardis. A-R-D-I-S, Brian Ardis. And Brian Ardis now is explaining how the COVID-19 protocols, that would be vaccines or remdesivir, he explains how the COVID-19 protocols that hospitals are forced, that hospitals are required to follow, are literally killing patients, including his own father-in-law. Lowell Nelson, think about this. I went back to this article where they talk about Brian Ardis, the doctor. He's literally on Bridey on TV now with a show, along with us and many others. I'm on Bridey on TV with Sheriff Richard Mack as well. It's Mike and Alan Keyes doing this, and Mike the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, who sponsor and run Bridey on TV. But we're on Bridey on TV, and so is this Dr. Brian Ardis. And Brian Ardis basically says, look, they're killing people. They even killed his own father-in-law. And that's why he's speaking out, because this has become personal. And the more testimonies we get from physicians and scientists and people in the medical realm, and the more testimonies we get from people like me and Kate Daly's husband and others who have been sick and who have been forced to go to these unique protocols, the more evidence we have that there is a massive intention here. I don't know if you know, I don't know if you heard, but oxygen is a drug per the FDA. Yes, the FDA regulates compressed oxygen as a drug. And the production processing of that compressed air drug is controlled by 21 CFR parts 210 and 211. Even though it doesn't fit in very well, because oxygen doesn't follow the normal properties of drugs, they've done this. And what I've mentioned is, why don't they allow people to get hydration via these traveling IV centers? Why don't they allow people to get oxygen and allow people to do a lot of these things that could prevent them from overwhelming the hospitals? If they're genuinely concerned about the hospitals being overwhelmed, if they generally want people to get well, if we're going to emergency authorize all these other things, meaning the vaccine or remdesivir, why not say for a temporary time or even for permanent, oxygen is not a controlled substance anymore? Why not make these things available? And the only answer you can come to is because they don't want people to get well. Everything that can help you is shut down. And everything that can hinder you or is ratcheted up. Lowell, it's beyond imagination.
Well, and it's also the money involved, too. It's like social engineering. The government gives money, more money to hospitals if they treat a COVID patient than some other illness. And so they go to great lengths to make sure, to get you to take the test so that they can declare that you are COVID, because that means more money for the hospital administration. So, so there's a monetary incentive. It's a perverse incentive, but they're doing it. But once you get that determination made, now you follow a different protocol. They don't follow the flu protocol. They don't follow the pneumonia protocol. They follow the COVID protocol. Well, and of course, that means more money for the hospital. It means less healthful outcome for the patient, but they don't seem to care. They are under the thumb of the CDC, right? We talked about this last hour, where big medicine today is under the thumb of the CDC, and if they don't follow the protocols that are recommended by the governmental body, now I realize that the CDC is not necessarily governmental, but it's acting as such. If they don't follow the protocols specified by the CDC, then these doctors, these nurses, they can lose their licenses. They could be put out of practice. They could lose their jobs. And of course, it'd be great if they did. But I'm just saying that's what they're working against. And because of this incredible, intense pressure being exerted upon them, that's why they make these diagnoses this way. And you know, they get the money from it, and they hurt people. They're hurting lives, and they're killing people with this protocol. This protocol, the COVID protocol, is designed to kill people, which will instill more fear, more panic among the population, which will push more people toward hospitalization, more people toward the vaccines, and it's a downward cycle, Sam.
And the headline I just got to make your point about money, Pfizer, set to make billions on boosters. Think about that. Pfizer set to make billions on boosters. But again, this just points to what I'm saying, though. Everything they're doing goes against everything we know and we've learned, and more people are starting to stand up. That's the only good news. What we've got kind of is a race to the finish line, though, Lowell. Are they going to really force tyranny on all of us, like Australia? Or are we going to push back and stop them? Are they going to force, as Biden mandated, us, if you work for a company with over 100 employees, to be either tested all the time, which isn't feasible, they know it, or to be vaccinated or lose your job? Or if Fauci has his way, he just wants a vaccination, pure and simple, not just for your employment, for everything. You can't do anything without a vax card. You're just locked down in America. That's where Fauci has admitted he wants to go. Are we going to allow this to happen in America? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a serious question. But you know what? Jeff Harris writes an incredible article that kind of points out this crossroads, Lowell.
Well, he certainly does. And the great thing about this article that struck me right off the bat was that the Bayer pharmaceutical company began producing aspirin in 1897. That's 124 years ago, folks, where aspirin began to be produced, right? And we've got 124 years of experience with aspirin. The risk factors, the benefits, all of this, right? And if you go to Harvard Health Publishing, you learn that it is not a good idea for everyone to take aspirin, right? This simple, tiny, simple pharmaceutical drug called aspirin. They openly declare it's not a good idea for everybody to take it. Quote, here's Dr. Christopher Cannon saying, everyone assumes that aspirin is harmless, he says, but it's not. For some, the downsides of aspirin, which is mainly gastrointestinal bleeding, he writes, outweigh its benefits, end quote. Interesting. Now, now compare that with the vaccine, for example. We are getting lectured every day about taking the COVID vaccine, every day. Tremendous pressure being exerted on us by the President of the United States, saying if you work for a company with more than 100 people, you have to take the vaccine, or you at least have to get tested every week, right? Think of that and compare that with the simple, very simple drug called aspirin. And the doctors in the Harvard Medical School, they all say it's not for everybody. Then why in the heck is the COVID vaccine being recommended for everybody, Sam? That's the question.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It just proves to the intentional that I'm pointing to. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been had. We better speak out and stand up. We better use the checks and balances of the Constitution. Other countries don't have that blessing. We do. Let's use it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Several souls have been lost as an Amtrak train derails near Joplin, Montana, in the north central part of the state. The westbound train with 8 cars and 2 engines was en route from Chicago to Seattle when it left the tracks about 4 p.m. Saturday. In all, 147 passengers were aboard. The NTSB is investigating. Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker discussed the America of today, Saturday, at President Trump's Save America rally in Georgia. One America News caught up with Mr. Walker at the rally.
Years ago, not too many people got involved with politics, but that just shows that people care about this country, that people care about this state. I think the turnout is absolutely incredible.
The center-left Social Democrat Party, or SDP, clinched a narrow victory in Germany's historic federal election on Sunday. It's a political comeback for the SPD, making its way for Chancellor candidate Olaf Scholz to form a new government coalition and lead Europe's largest economy into the post-Merkel era. USA Radio News.
Oh, according to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/find. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Scott, is that you? Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/find. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/find. That's ZipRecruiter.com/find.
As the government continues to get larger and larger, a new office is proposed to investigate UFOs and determine if they're a threat to the United States. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau has the details.
If the 2022 National Defense Authorization Act is enacted, a new office would have to be created no later than 180 days to investigate unidentified flying objects. In a defense funding bill passed by the House of Representatives, it includes a provision that would establish the office to investigate sightings in the skies. It would also evaluate links between such phenomena and foreign governments, try to figure out whether the sightings serve as a threat to the United States, and report on the phenomena each year to Congress, with the first report due no later than December 31st, 2022. The office would replace a task force established last year by the Pentagon.
There will be a rocket launch today at 2:12 p.m. Eastern from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. It will deliver an Earth monitoring satellite. USA Radio News.
All right, back to you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, doing a phenomenal job on your radio. We're talking about this situation where Pfizer is set to make billions on boosters. America at the crossroads, liberty or tyranny, writes Jeff Harris. And that's really where we are, Lowell. And I think the people need to push back on this. If they can get it done with vaccines, they will. If they can't, more deaths will ensue. They'll ensure it. And if they can't get it done even with more deaths ensuing in the coronavirus, they'll throw climate change into the mix to push the envelope. This is where they are. They're going for broke. It's a race to the finish line. Lol.
Boy, it sure seems like that, Sam. You know, I'm reminded of that phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves. You know, the side effects of the COVID vaccines are very sobering, Sam. Through September 17th, that's just 10 days ago, there have been reported to the CDC's adverse event reporting data system database there over 725,000 adverse events, including over 15,000.
Now, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there. 700,000+ adverse events. With a fraction of that in the past, they've taken any vaccine off the market without even a blink. They've just said, no, we're not doing it. The penalties are too high. For some reason with this one, they don't care, Lowell. Again,
and
more proof
right.
that it's intentional.
Not only is this what you said is true there, but the number, 725,000, is actually a low number. As you reported last week, the number of adverse events that get reported to the CDC's database is grossly understated, because nurses and doctors complain, well, it takes a half hour for me to enter this information. This database was designed this way on purpose because they didn't want adverse events reported for vaccines. And this database was created 30 years ago, by the way, and it's a relic. It's a prehistoric dinosaur in terms of software. And so it turns out that most events are not even being reported to the CDC. There was a Yale study, I think, in 2008 that found out that about 90% of adverse events are not even being reported to the CDC. So this number, 725,000 adverse events, is being, just the beginning of the year through September 17th, which is about, 8 months, 8.5 months, over 725,000 adverse events have been reported to the CDC, including over 15,000 deaths, over 7,200 heart attacks, over 2,100 miscarriages. Think of the damage, the carnage being done by COVID-19 vaccine and being reported to the CDC. And so it just goes to underscore this point that we're at a very precarious point right here in America. Are we going to push back against this tyranny? Are we going to successfully push this back, or are we going to just comply? I mean, so Jeff writes, he ends his article this way. He says, the fact is, this madness will not blow over if we just try to get through it and passively go along with the flow. He says, this truism, a bully is never stopped by compliance, but by resistance. Peaceful resistance is preferable. By simply refusing to comply with the tyrannical edicts, we drain them of power. But Americans are well armed, unlike the UK and unlike Australia. In last sentence, he says, the tyrants know that pushing freedom-loving Americans too far could end their reign of terror. We have the numbers on our side, provided enough of us are willing to say, no, I will not comply. We have the power to stop this, Sam. The only question is, will enough of us stand up and do that? That's the big question.
Now, the problem is, it seems like every large organization is going along with this, whether it be churches, whether it be hospitals, whether it be doctors and physicians or nurses or whatever organizations. It's the individuals that are standing up, and they're getting their reputations and their credibility slaughtered because of the dishonest reporting, et cetera. But this is really important to understand. I mean, even people who you think would stand against this are not. It is shocking. America is at a crossroads, liberty or tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. And you're in the mix. I'm telling you that right now. But let's talk about who the real terrorists are. Gary D. Barnett writes, playing into the hands of the real terrorists among us. I think this puts I think it drives the nail straight, is all I can say, lol.
Boy, I couldn't agree more, Sam. This Gary D. Barnett, he's a deep thinker, and I love I love how he connects the dots. And so he says this, Sam. He writes this. He says, quote, "This is not about any virus. It is about a communistic takeover of society. In order to achieve global control of all monetary systems, all property, and all people, the end game, comma, if the people en masse do not soon dissent, comma, will be the creation of a complex technocratic system run by the claimed elite few at the top of the power pyramid. A two-tiered system is sought, the master class and their entourage of partners and enforcers, comma, and a slave class of all those left after the genocidal attack that is coming to fruition due to the deadly bioweapon that is the COVID vaccine. Every new shot, every new booster will be another nail in the coffin of humanity. This is," he writes, "a massive conspiracy, not a theory, and one that has been planned for decades. It is now on the verge of success after many years of failed attempts to gain global control. Depopulation through death and sterilization is already underway. And the only way to stop it is to eliminate the division and infighting amongst those willing to fight back. Avoid the herd mentality of collectivism. Stand together as individuals against these tyrannical enemies of freedom. And dissent, disobey, and just say no to any and every unlawful order. End of quote. Sam, it is sobering, but it is true.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a massive conspiracy, not a theory, and it's one that has been planned for decades. It's now on the verge of success after many years of failure. Failed attempts to gain global control. Their goal, depopulation, death, sterilization. The problem is they're showing their evil hand. They're so desperate now that I believe they're showing their evil hand. Lol. Gary Barnett's right about this. This is not about any virus. It's about a communistic takeover of society in order to achieve global control of all monetary systems, all property, and all people. They want the few at the top of the power grid. They want the rest of us as slaves. I don't even know how to respond to this, Lowell, and I hate to repeat what you just said, but I wanted to repeat it because it's, if we don't soon dissent, we'll be the slaves of this complex technocratic system they're creating. There you have it. So I know I've repeated what you said, but I want people to really understand this. You got the master class, and then their entourage of partners and enforcers. Then you got the slave class of all those left after their genocidal attack. It's coming to fruition right now, Lowell.
It is. It's coming to fruition right before our very eyes. And it reminds me, Sam, that of what Paul said in the New Testament, that we don't war against human adversaries. We are warring against the great deceiver. We're warring against the adversary, right? That's our real enemy in this fight. He wants to enslave all people. That's his goal. He wants our death. He wants our destruction. He wants us to be miserable and to suffer. He is not out. He is not looking out for your happiness. And he is the one that is waging war upon humanity, Sam, all around this planet. And the powers that are arrayed against us have never been greater. They've never been stronger than they are right now. And we have to re-enthrone our God if we expect to hope to win this battle. We need to return to our Lord Jesus Christ and worship him in order to win this war against the great adversary, against the great deceiver, Sam.
You got to descend. You got to disobey, and you got to just say no. Lowell Nelson with me. Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Final segment in seconds.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have told you for the last 2 hours about the massive conspiracy, not a theory, one that has been planned for decades, that was on the brink of failure so many times, but now might have success. Their goal is to sterilize everybody, to create depopulation, to kill. This is not about any virus, ladies and gentlemen. It's about a communistic takeover of our society. They want to achieve global control of everything, including you and your children, ladies and gentlemen. But we want to spend the last final segment talking about people who are pushing back, because Gary Barnett basically says, listen, we've got to disobey every unlawful order. We've got to stop these tyrannical enemies of freedom. We got to dissent and just say no. Well, there's people that are starting to push back. As you know, there's riots in Australia, the mainstream press being blocked or blocking it and won't tell you about it, etc. But there's two people that are fighting back. Obviously, Sam and Lowell are two of them. But there's two other people that are fighting back that we want to highlight today. One guy's name is Sean Fredrickson. He's a resident of San Diego, California. And he boldly confronts the county health officer with her own published statistics that prove she is lying about the number of COVID deaths in her county. Sean's the citizen, lives there, and here's the confrontation.
Good morning, supervisors. Thank you for being here listening to us. Before I go further, though, I'd like to address Ms. Wilma Wooten and that propaganda that you were sharing. This is not factual. We've actually... being that we are not Cuba yet or North Korea, we still have access to the internet. And it's beautiful because your department has done a fantastic job of documenting the deaths in this county. So what I've done is taken that information which you provided to ensure that I'm an informed citizen and I know when you're lying. So here we go. April 2021, there were 147 people who died in this county. Whatever the positive tests say with this PCR test, which we know to be unscientific and be used at 45 thresholds, which makes these positive tests false positives. We know this, and we also know that 147 people died in this county in the month of May. April. So let's go to May. How many people died in May? Ms. Wilma Wooten was talking about how all these people are dying. 54. We had 54 deaths in the county of San Diego. I don't care about the positives because obviously the PCR test is bunk and we know that. So let's go back to the deaths because that's hard evidence that we can use. In the month of June, how many deaths did we have, Nathan Fletcher? 80. How many residents are in this county? 3 million? 3.3 million residents in this county, and we're using propaganda that Wilma Wooten is using from the PCR test that we know that has been tested to be bunk because we've had 80 people die in this county. How many rights are we going to take away before we look at the facts? We know what you're trying to do. There are good supervisors up here that are trying to fight for freedom like the Constitution, but where are the rest of you? Why are you silencing people and using this jargon to scare us into submission? When are you going to speak the truth, Wilma? We're calling you out because we, the citizens of America, are tired of these lies. We get lied to regularly. We're used to these lies. Who's going to stand up for the truth?
There you have it. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you right now, more Americans are standing up and confronting the lies. They're confronting the dishonesty. They're confronting the manipulated statistics. They're asking real questions like I've been asking on the radio the whole time. Why is oxygen a controlled substance? And if we're going to use emergency use authorization, why not say, hey, we're going to let people have oxygen if they need it? You might have some control. You might say, hey, as long as a doctor says yes, etc. But why? How can we? Well, they're lying. And Sean Fredrickson, a resident, literally drills in and confronts them. Now, the mainstream press reports this and says this. The anti-vaxxers took over the San Diego meeting. Lowell, do you want to respond to that?
Well, that's a fantastic story. I love the young man who brought that brought the fight back to the board, the commission, whoever he was talking to there. In fact, it reminds me that just a few short months ago, that someplace back in New York, there was a controller. This is a county level again, a county level position, basically the treasurer of the county or something, and in charge of the fine schedule and the payment of fines. You know, and so when the health department was fining all of these businesses for failure to you know put up plastic barriers or to require masking of their patrons or whatever, they were fined these horrendous fees, like $1,000 a day or $1,500 a day, whatever. Well, this controller, he put out a new fee schedule, and he said, look, anybody fined over like $1,000, you have 10 years to pay. And if you're fined more than $10,000, you have 100 years to pay or whatever. And then he said, if the health department doesn't quit this shenanigans, I am going to shut down their account. And so there is a courageous controller in some county in New York who said, and he shut him down. He stopped this tyrannical regulation of businesses in his county simply because he took a stand. A one person took a stand in a county and shut down the nonsense going on by the health department in that county. So these are courageous people, Sam. I applaud these people, and I'm so glad that you brought today the Sean Fredrickson story. Wonderful story, Sam.
New York City, for example, collected $1 billion in fines last year alone. So you're starting to see more and more and more governments just flat out. Well, the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence called it eating out our substance, right? Anyway, this county, this New York County controller that you mentioned responds to critics as well. So they criticize this controller big time for standing up. But the controller has the chops to push back. It's New York County controller responds to critics after helping businesses hit by coronavirus, responds to the fines. It's a Fox News piece that kind of highlights this. This is crazy. It's hard to even understand how many fights are going on at the same time, ladies and gentlemen. I mean,
well,
it's just crazy.
It tells us that one person can do wonderful things. I mean, one person can do terrible things. You know, if you got a health director that enforces these mandates, it's terrible. But if you got somebody like this controller to stand up and put an end to the nonsense, wonderful things can happen. So it just shows you the power of an individual, Sam. We need more people at the local level exerting this kind of righteous authority, putting down this nonsense, Sam. That's what we need.
All right. I'm a researcher as well as a talk show host, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what I did while Lowell was talking. I found the article, Fox News, Erie County, New York. Controller, the guy's name is Stefan Machadjalul. I don't know how to say his last name. Anyway, Stefan M. Anyway, he spoke out about criticism he's received after establishing long-term installment plans for businesses hit by the coronavirus fines in his county. He used his powers as controller to strip the Erie County Health Department of the power to collect and demand cash for such fines, instead directing him to his office and putting him on a 20 to 100 year payment plan. Anyway, there you have it. That's the story that Lowell was referring to. And I just added it to the notes. So, you know, the county, you know, the controller's name, et cetera, et cetera. So there you have that. Another gentleman fighting back. And I mentioned we had two stories of good fighting back people. Now we have three, thanks to Lowell on the fly putting that one together for us. There's a guy by the name of Joseph Ladapo.
Ladapo.
All right, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm not good at pronouncing names like Lowell is. Ladapo. Anyway, this third guy is fighting back too, Lowell.
Well, and the only reason I know how to pronounce his name is because I listened to the news conference. This happened just last Tuesday, Sam. The Florida Governor DeSantis appointed Joseph Ladapo to be his Surgeon General. Apparently in Florida they have a state Surgeon General. And this Joseph Ladapo is a young man. He's about 35 years old, a black man, wonderful gentleman, well-educated, wonderful gentleman. I just can't say enough about him in his comments. But in his comments last
Tuesday...
Wait
a minute. We are trying to say in the mainstream press that you're a racist and you hate everybody. How come you're promoting this black man?
I don't know.
Oh, because he's got the truth? And because he's an American just like we are? And the truth is we're fighting this together, every one of us? Is that why? Oh, good point.
So, yeah.
All right, keep going, sir.
In his comments last Tuesday, he spoke boldly in favor of freedom and against using health fear-mongering, including the overstating of dangers from coronavirus as an excuse to violate individual rights. He said first, Sam, that he was not going to use fear in his policy making. That was the first great statement he made. He made it early in his talk, which I found very refreshing because it reminded me of what John Adams said over 200 years ago. He said that fear is the foundation of most governments. And I think we discussed several weeks ago, Sam, how emotion reduces one's ability to think logically. Well, fear is one of the most powerful emotions, and moving the citizenry to a state of fear is really key in a government's ability to achieve its tyrannical agenda. And as you look around us today, Sam, the fear that's all around us, we're being fed a constant diet of fear. We got fear of the virus, fear of the unmasked, fear of terrorists, fear of illegal immigrants, fear of people who are too religious, fear of people who are not religious enough, fear of extremists, fear of the government, fear of those who fear the government. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And so the strategy that they're employing is so simple, yet so effective. The best way to control a population is through fear and discord, because fear makes people stupid, Sam. It really does. And so anyway, so that's why I highlight that his very first point out of his mouth was, we are not going to use fear. We're not going to govern in this state based on fear. That's not what we're going to do. So anyway, Ladapo said several times that he would not infringe on people's freedoms. He signed the Great Barrington Declaration, by the way, and when he was asked about it, he said, we need to respect human rights. People do have autonomy over their lives. End of quote, right? So great comments, great response to the questions there. And in fact, earlier in his comments, he said this, Sam. He said, quote, hopefully we will set an example for other states around the country and maybe even further than that, end of quote. So Ladapo, his example can demonstrate that there is a viable course of action for people in similar positions that does not depend on inducing panic and employing force. Sam, that's the bottom line.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. The final segment, three examples of folks fighting back. Just exactly what Gary Barnett says we need to do. Americans need to stand for the truth. Americans need to stand up and call a halt to the con game. I'm telling you that right now. We can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. We can stand up for the supreme law of our land, the Constitution. We can demand checks and balances. We can hold them accountable. We can insist on transparency. We can focus on the real science, not the science they lie and claim. Science, when properly applied, can be our true friend. Don't forget that either. Thanks for being alongside for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. Pray for those who are sick. Stand against those who are tyrannical. And stand for the sacred cause of liberty, will you please? For Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.